This is the Engines of Our Ingenuity, made possible by the friends of KUHF Houston.
Today, aeroplanes in embryo. The University of Houston's College of Engineering presents this series about the machines that make our civilization run and the people whose ingenuity created them. The first countries to build successful heavier-than-air flying machines were the U.S. and France. Our Wright brothers flew in 1903. They were soon followed by California's John Montgomery, Alexander Graham Bell, and others. From among them, Glenn Curtiss emerged from the pack to become our one early airplane maker who proved to have real staying power. France was equally quick to get in the game. Brazilian-born French designer Santos Dumont was making tentative flights and rapid improvements in a pretty primitive airplane by 1906. A year later, he had a real success with an airplane he called Demoiselle. But three other French airmen went on to make France a true mother of flight. They were Louis Blériot, Henri Farman, and Gabriel Voisin. Blériot and Voisin worked together, then each went his own way. Blériot went on to first fly the English Channel. Farman entered the picture in 1907 when he hired Voisin to build him an aeroplane. They called it the Voisin-Farman 1. It was the first flying machine to stay aloft for more than 1 minute, and it was first to navigate a circular course. Like the Silicon Valley pioneers of the 50s, these early French designers joined and divided like amoebas. When Voisin stayed with his workable but still primitive airframe, Farman left to build his own planes. He lost the race to first fly the English Channel to Blériot, but he'd already set a distance record over land that was three times the channel's width. If, a century ago, you'd asked names of famous flyers, Farman's might have headed the list. He was everywhere, at meets, making exhibition flights, even teaching one of the first women to fly. Sculptor Thérèse Pelletier learned in a Farman-Voisin machine. Farman went on to make ever better planes. He made some of the first reconnaissance planes in World War I. Toward the war's end, he began building his F-60 Goliath bomber, then quickly recast it for civilian use. It was a large two-engine 12-person biplane with a 250-mile range. It carried passengers all through the 1920s. Farman hit his stride in civilian aircraft. The year I was born, he built a fine 8-passenger trimotor, much like the Fokker and Ford trimotors of that time. He emerged from this gaggle of the earliest pioneers as someone who could reach across time into a new era of safe passenger service. Farman Airlines offered routes with exotic names like Étoile d'Argent or Gold Star, Air Orient, and Trans-African Aviation Company. So aeroplanes were born of two parents at the beginning of the 20th century, America and France. And in each country, one person seemed to emerge as the founding pioneer who could reach into the new aeroplane-served world of the 20th century. Glenn Curtiss' name still graces the Curtiss Wright Company, but France's equally remarkable Henri Farman has largely faded into memory's mists. I'm John Leanhart at the University of Houston, where we're interested in the way inventive minds work.